Oh my goodness. Sometimes there are songs that I wish had another verse. That was one of them. Thank you, band. Wonderful. Well, as you've heard already, this is a month where we're looking at acceptance. And last Sunday, I shared with you about accepting yourself. And we took a look at how important it was to see ourselves as a spiritual being first and foremost, and secondly, as a human being and all the doings that we're involved in, all the things that we do and say and feel. So we're most importantly focusing on our being and secondly on our doing. Now this week we're going to take a look at the acceptance of others. How is it that we feel about other people in our life? When I was a kid, there were a few Bible verses that really struck me. And going to church every Sunday and hearing good sermons and great Sunday school lessons and that sort of thing. And it comes out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. As you read that creation story, which I always loved as a kid, I just thought it was amazing that God did all that stuff. And several times as the scriptures go on, I don't have them noted specifically here, but God would look at what had been done and God would say, "That's good. That's good, and that's good." But the very last, God looked at everything that had been made, and God said, "That is good, and it is very good." And to me, that "very" just jumped off the page. This is something special. This is something really neat. This is something really good that the Creator had done. So I was impressed with the nobility of humankind, with the awesomeness of all of creation, because God had pronounced it to be very good. Now, given this greatness of human beings and the greatness of the world, why is it that we need to be taught, that we need to be instructed, that we need to be encouraged to accept others? Why, if we are these marvelous creatures in this marvelous world, why doesn't that just happen anyway? Why do we even have to talk about it, much less being instructed and encouraged to do that? Well, I've asked myself that a lot. I've questioned that quite often. And I have a theory about this. Part of that theory is that we have wired into us certain characteristics and capabilities that are there to ensure our survival. I mean, survival is an important thing for human beings. It's important for any kind of species that wants to continue on the earth, and it is true for us as well. And one of those characteristics that are wired into us to ensure our survival is the feeling of fear. Now, fear is one of the most fundamental, basic, primal, primitive emotions that we have, and some researchers actually call fear an instinct. It is so built in that we don't even think about it when it happens, when we use it. And what goes along with fear is what you've heard of as fight and flight. And researchers fairly recently have added freeze into that as well, because that's one of the behaviors that enters into the response to fear. Fight, flight, or freeze. Now, we experience this fear in a lot of different situations in our humanness. Anytime we experience something different, there's the possibility for fear to enter into it, because anything different appears to us as a threat. When a person with one skin color sees another person of another skin color, you have to recognize there's a difference there. And for some, there is fear that comes up because of that difference. And when that fear comes up, there's a response to that. And it's not acceptance. When a human being experiences someone who has a different language, very often that's threatening and fear comes up. When a human being meets someone from a different part of the world and grew up in a different country with different customs, different clothing styles, different eating styles, there's a difference that's recognized there, and that difference can be perceived as a threat. And here comes fear acting. And when fear shows up, we have that fight, flight, or freeze instinct that pops up inside of us, and that determines our response. Now, if I'm right about this, if this is a real element and a real dynamic that's going on in human behavior, it's really helpful in understanding what's happening in the world. Because as you hear about people who are hurting each other, what would happen if you looked at that situation and said, I see fear there. Those people are afraid of each other. Yes, they're angry. Yes, they're violent. But underneath that is fear that's playing along all the time. Now, the problem with fear showing up as it does is that it is rare that there are ever any real threats to our survival in the world that we live now. Think about it. In this last week, how many threats were there to your survival as a human being on this planet? And most of us, 99.99% of us would probably say there's been no threat whatsoever. But we tend to live with that fear still operating even though the threat is not there, because we're constantly perceiving differences between us and other people in so many different ways. And that fear just comes attached to it. I was working on my computer the other day. I was trying to do some really deep thinking about something and processing something, and I kept hearing this faint music on my computer. And I couldn't find out where it was coming from. I tried everything, couldn't get it turned off. And finally, I figured out there was a program operating in the background that was playing this music, even though I wasn't using it. It was like three or four layers down. And I think that's a good example of what happens to us in fear. We're going through our lives doing what we plan to do, doing what we need to do, but three or four layers down, that fear is still operating. And when we perceive someone who's different from us in whatever way, skin color, language, ethnic origin, lifestyle choice, whatever it is, that says difference. And if that program is operating, that program of fear is operating down three or four levels, that difference is not just seen and accepted, that difference is responded to on some level. So as we look at our world today and we see so much violence, what if we looked at that violence and said, there is fear? In the news now, especially around the elections, we see so much stuff going on that's inappropriate, so much stuff that is mean, so much stuff that is uncaring, and we're all into it. There's no one person or one group or one party that's doing this. We all are involved in it. What would happen if we looked at that and instead of getting involved in it, instead of jumping into the middle of it and continuing and perpetuating, what if we took a step back and said, there's fear here. There's fear of difference that's going on here. And these people are perceiving this difference as a threat. And they're responding with violence. They're responding with aggression. They're responding with hate or with anger. At least, surely, those of us who are on a spiritual path can look at that and see it differently. Even if we can't in the moment do anything about it, we can see it differently and be sure that we don't participate in what's going on there, that we don't perpetuate the fear that's going on down underneath the surface. Myrtle Fillmore in How to Let God Help You said, as you really understand God, you will learn to drop all thought and feeling of anything contrary to good. God is the one presence and one power. The creation is God's, and all that God has made is good, and we know it is very good. We, His children, are made up of His ideas and the qualities of being. As you really understand God, you will learn to drop all thought and feeling of anything contrary to good. So the more that we understand about spirit, the more that we understand about ourselves, the less engaged we're going to be by this fear that's operating down underneath the surface, and the more we're able to see what is good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is known as the love chapter, it speaks about love in the first part of the chapter, but beginning with the 9th verse, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only as a reflection in a mirror, then we shall see face to face, Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am known. Now, this is our destiny, to come to a deeper awareness of what truth is all about, to come to a deeper awareness of what this moment is all about, to come to a deeper awareness of what survival is all about. Because we were not designed just to survive. We were designed to thrive. We were designed to grow. We were designed to unfold and to learn and to be more of who and what we are. So as we come to understand this matter of surviving and thriving, fear becomes a different thing for us. When we begin to see that I feel fear coming on now, but do I really need it? Now, there are times when fear is appropriate. There are times when survival really needs to kick in, but not as often as we perceive it. I think I've told you this story before. Early one morning when on trash day, I'd gotten up before daylight and reached around and opened my garage door, and I was going to take the trash out. And while I was getting that together, the light had gone out in the garage. So I stepped out the door with the trash in my hand, and I heard this growling. And I thought, my dog didn't get outside. Where's this growling coming from? I turned the light on, and here is a Rottweiler. It belonged to somebody several houses down the street that was supposedly a drug dealer. And that does not imply that anybody who has a Rottweiler is a drug dealer by any means, but in this case. So here was this Rottweiler. And the first thought that went through my mind is, what is this dog doing in my garage? And I began to realize how territorial I am. This is my garage. This is my place. And you're growling at me? So rather than being afraid, it just ticked me off. And I reached over in the recycle bin and pulled out a cardboard box. And I lit out after this Rottweiler. I chased this Rottweiler down the street with a cardboard box, screaming and hitting him with the cardboard box. Now I realize that wasn't the brightest thing to do. But in that case, fear took a different form. I guess I was fighting a little bit, but I didn't run away and I didn't freeze. So there are different ways that we can deal with fear. And that's part of what we're about in our growing, in our learning, in our maturing, is how do we deal with fear in a different way? How do we deal with fear as a spiritual person? One of the ways is looking again first of all at ourselves and saying, I am God expressing, I am Spirit expressing in this human form, and a part of my humanness is this capability of fear. And fear has a certain way that we respond to it, but I don't have to respond to it like I always have. I don't have to respond to fear like everybody else may be doing. I can choose to respond to fear in a different way. To say, I perceive that there's difference here in my immediate world. Here's a person who looks different than I do, speaks different than I do, believes different than I do, lives in a different place than I do, wears a different kind of clothes than I do. Wow, that's interesting. It doesn't have to bring up fear. The difference in our world can pique our interest. And we can begin to look more closely and say, what can I learn from this situation? What can I take from this situation? What can I give to this situation? And fear becomes something completely different. Fear becomes something that serves us in a very positive way. It serves us in thriving and not just surviving. And again, yes, there will be times when fear kicks into that survival mode, and it is appropriate to do so, but not all the time. So it's important that we're able to recognize when a situation of difference comes up in front of us, what does this call for? Does it really call for some engaged action, or does it call for observation? Does it call for fighting, or does it call for flight, or does it call for freezing, or does it call for an open mind to perceive what the truth is in front of us? And I think most of the time, that last case is what is most often needed. For us to be able to look at that which is different and perceive it from spiritual eyes. We've been looking with spiritual eyes this year. What's the name of it? Seeing life through perfect vision, seeing through a spiritual lens. When I begin to see the difference in the world through spiritual lens, I respond in a different way. And it doesn't have to be fear. When I look at life through spiritual lens, I perceive people who are different from me, and I don't have to perceive them as a threat. Now, I can disagree with people completely without perceiving them as a threat. I can experience someone who believes differently than I do without feeling like I have to be afraid. We can be present completely in our spiritual beingness to every situation of differentness. Every situation where something else is going on that I'm not familiar with, we can still be present completely. That passage out of 1 Corinthians said that we lived at one time as a child, which is certainly appropriate. Bev and I are thoroughly enjoying our grandchildren. And we certainly enjoy them being a child as they are, and we don't expect them to be anything else. But when we become an adult spiritually, we grow up. We learn things and we act differently. We teach differently. We're taught differently. So during this week, I invite you to give some thought to how this process of fear, how this process of threat, how this process of reaction works in you. As you're watching the news, what comes up in you? Be aware of it and be careful about what you choose in your response to that. When you engage people in conversation who believe things differently from you, take the time to be fully present and to hear them and to speak clearly for yourself. Myrtle says that when we truly understand God, we learn to drop all thought and feeling of anything contrary to the good. So let this week be a week of good for you. Let this week be a week of accepting others, of realizing that some people's behavior is because of fear and they're locked into it. You don't have to be. So allow this week to be a time of looking around and seeing the good and not getting engaged in that which doesn't seem to be good after all. So take this idea of fear and claim it, let it be your own, and let your fear be yours, and do with it what needs to be done. Not necessarily what has always been done, not necessarily what the rest of the world is doing, but what you can do with that fear, bringing to your attention that which you need to pay attention to, and bringing to your mind that stage of understanding of seeing the big picture that is here, and seeing your part in the big picture. So this week, let us have this week to be a time of accepting others, putting our judgments aside, and seeing what people are really going through, and feeling that empathy with them, and being a shining light, being an example of spiritual maturity, spiritual awareness in our world as we go about accepting ourselves and accepting others. God bless you, my friends.
And now as you digest those ideas, think about how you can put them into practice this week. We ask you to consider your gift, your contribution to Unity of Pompano Beach, for we do fully appreciate all your giving, especially those of you who have been committed with us these 5 months going on six. And we will be here and we will continue because you're enabling us to do that as we cut back on all our expenses. We are here to continue that high watch for you as we not only see ourselves in the world and accept without fear what's going on, we also see places where we can be proactive and we can hold that high watch and shine our light. So as we enjoy the band one more time, I just want to thank you for your giving. You can always use the donate button on our website or set it up with bill pay or all the many ways you're all familiar with how to give. So thank you so much for that. And a reminder of fellowship time. Perhaps there's different information out there. Our fellowship time will begin at noon, just a few more minutes as we close up here. So go on to the website link and register. And Lawrence and I and many others will see you in virtual fellowship. Thank you again.